Let's go to John, the 6th chapter, and 24th through 27th verse. This is the day before Jesus has just multiplied the loaves and the fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish, he's just multiplied it and fed above 5,000 people. They take up the remnants, and there's 12 baskets full that had begun with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. An astounding miracle. And Jesus departs. They're at the Sea of Galilee, and he tells his disciples to take a boat to go to the other side. And as they're out on the water that evening, a storm arises, and many of you know the story. The boat's tossed back and forth. They're afraid that it's going to sink. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And, you know, of course, Peter calls out to him. He says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." And Jesus tells him to come. Peter begins to walk on the water to Jesus until he begins to look at the winds and the waves and begins to sink. He cries out, "Master." And Jesus takes him by the hand, and immediately they're in the boat. The sea's calm. And they continue to the other side of the sea there to Capernaum. Well, the multitude where he had fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I don't know how many of the multitude, but the next day they're looking for him. If we would read a little before we start, you'd find out that they begin to count boats. They then take note of the shipping that was there and the shipping that's gone and the boats where they've come from. And they know that the boat that his disciples have taken, they see that to the other side. They don't know where Jesus is gone. So it's evident they decide, well, we'll follow the disciples and we'll find Jesus. So these people hire boats, hire shipping. And Scripture doesn't give us how many they were. But they hire boats to take them across the Sea of Galilee. And there they find Jesus. 24th verse, John 6, "And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" How did you get here? "And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed." I've read this passage all my life, never really saw the fullness of what the Lord was saying, and I don't suppose that I do this morning. But that "labor not for the meat that perishes," when you put it into perspective to what these people have just done, that they have hired boats to take them across the Sea of Galilee to find Jesus. And this is the laboring that Jesus is speaking of. And that's the one thing that I'd never taken note of. When he says, "Labor not for the meat that perishes," they've found something that they're willing to follow after, that they're willing to pursue, that they're willing to spend for, and that they're willing to inconvenience themselves over, and all the things that you could read into this that might go. And that was their labor that Jesus was speaking of, and I'm sure that Jesus is probably a bit amazed that they've taken boats and crossed the Sea of Galilee to come find him. And he says, "You don't seek me because of the miracles." There was a group in John, the 2nd chapter, that when they saw the great miracles that Jesus did They believed upon Him. But the Scripture records something that's strange to many. He said, but Jesus would not commit Himself to them. Amen. Do you understand that you can have a type of faith that believes upon Jesus that will not move Him to commit Himself to you? Amen. And salvation is not what we do upward. Salvation is what comes downward from God to us. So I want to tell you, it matters if He commits Himself to you. And in John, the second chapter, it says they believed when they saw the miracles, but Jesus would not commit Himself to them. And these are the ones that sought for something that they would not receive. And the Scripture tells us why. He says, because He knew all men. He knew what was in men. He didn't need that anyone should testify of man. And what was He saying? He wasn't impressed by their words. Lord, we believe upon You. He knew what was in their heart. He knew that they were excited about seeing a great thing, about seeing a miracle. And that would never bring them to trust in Him. And so He didn't even commit Himself to them. Well, here Jesus sees this other group, and they have taken boats to follow Him. And Jesus says, you're not seeking Me for miracles. You're not like that crowd earlier. He says, you're laboring for meat that perishes. You know what He's telling them? You want more loaves and fish. You want more loaves and fish. You are willing to pursue. You are willing to follow after. You are willing to plot your course because it meat, and that's a generic word that they used in the Scripture that would for food. For food that perishes. That whether it goes to waste or whether it goes into your belly, and then the Scripture says out into the draught, it comes and it's gone. And you're willing to follow, you're willing to spend, you're willing to pursue, you're willing to chase food, meat that perishes, that's temporary. And He said, don't do that. Don't do that. He said, labor not for meat that perishes, but labor. And labor's not in there, but it follows. But labor, but follow, but seek, but pursue that which endures to everlasting life. And how we can see that difference there? People follow so many things in life that they would give up so much, they would sacrifice so much for, to have. Because this thing is security. This thing is peace of mind. This thing is comfort. This thing is a goal reached. And it's all temporary things. But they were willing to do the extraordinary to gain the temporary. And Jesus said, don't do that. But follow after. To obtain that meat which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. And that's a reference to Himself. In the next chapter, John, the 7th chapter, 37th verse. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. And that's a saying that I believe we do well, every one of us, to have hidden in our heart, in our memory, in our spirit. if you're thirst, if you're thirsty, Jesus said, come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So I want you to keep these two passages, sayings of Jesus. Labor not for meat that perishes, but labor for that which endures. We're not talking about a work unto salvation. But there are things that will cause people not to take any rest as they follow after. And Jesus said, if something's going to rob you from rest until you obtain it, let it be something that's eternal. Let it be something that's going to endure forever. Here Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. I want to turn over to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. I do believe that both these statements that Jesus just made come from this passage. The prophet Isaiah, God speaks through him, and beginning at the first verse, ho, listen, hear me. Everyone that thirsteth, everyone that's thirsty. Many times people are thirsty and they don't understand that it's thirst. People pursue something. People hope to gain something. Chase something. Sometimes they describe it as an emptiness, as a void, as a hollow place. Sometimes it's something in them that's driving them to chase things, to follow after things, something that they think is going to meet the need within them. And that's who he's speaking to. He says, listen, everyone that's thirsty, come you to the waters. There's a passage of Scripture, Jeremiah the second chapter. We're going to be in Isaiah 55, 11, 12, and 13. Just quickly, I want to read. God spoke of Israel. Has a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Who's the fountain of living waters? God said, it's me. They have forsaken me. I am the fountain of living waters. I am where the thirst of the soul is quenched. And he says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Cistern was a hole in the ground that had lined to catch rainwater and runoff water. A ditch, a detention pond, but something generally on a smaller scale that they would do to catch water. And he said, they forsook me, the fountain of living water, and they dug them a hole, a mud hole, to drink out of that won't hold any water. Well, back to Isaiah 55, first verse, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And it's a call to himself. It's a call from God to the people. Come to me. Come. I am the fountain of living waters. That's what Jesus was saying when he says, if any man thirst, let him what? Come to me. I am the fountain of living waters. He said, he that thirst, come to the waters. And he that has no money, come you buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money
and without price. He's talking about that food, that meat that Jesus was speaking of. He's in the fountain of waters that Jesus said that He was. He says, "Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread?" This is what Jesus was saying. Why do you labor for that meat which perishes? Why do you spend your effort? Why do you pursue? Why do you go after that which is but for a moment and then it passes away? He said, it's not bread, it's not food, it's not water, and it won't satisfy. And yet, they spent their money, they spent their labor to obtain it. And Jesus said, why are you doing that? They'll take your money, they'll take your time, they'll take your life, they'll take your eternity and give you nothing. And he said, why are you doing that? It's almost like he said, I'm missing something, but this don't make a whole lot of sense. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And he's talking about himself. Jesus in John 6 would go on to say, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. If a man eats thereof, he lives. And so he says, eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live. Now, I wasn't connecting it with what was on my heart in this service, but in song service, I began to talk about, I remember when I was dead. How many remember when you were dead? I'm not talking about just give me a show of hands, but if you remember when you was dead, give me a show of hands. And I remember when I was dead. I remembered when I pursued that which was not meat. I remember when I sought that which satisfied not. I remember when it consumed me. And yet He speaks to me and spoke to me just like He speaks to all. Incline your ear. Let's start listening to me. Come unto me and hear. And what's the Lord saying? Listen to what I have to say. And He closes out that sixth chapter of John saying, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they give life. And if you will incline your ear, if you will come and hear, your soul will live. I'm going to talk about something that I did not want to talk about this morning. How many have seen in the news, you'd had to be hid in a cave, all this stuff that's going on with Bruce Jenner? You seen that? It's everywhere. It's plastered. You would think the most important news story in the world is a man that has decided he's a woman and is going through all the steps to become a woman. And the whole nation, and I want you to hear me, this is something I did not want to get into this morning, but if the Lord gives me something, I'm not going to avoid it. But the whole nation is tiptoeing, to say what a wonderful thing this is. Now, what I said to this point, is that true? Whether you agree with me, what you think I'm going or not this morning, Is it true that it has been presented just about now as the most important news story, more important than ISIS, more important than Putin, more important than the economy, that we have a man that wants to become a woman? And the whole nation is tiptoeing to say, this is such a wonderful and a brave thing. And I don't think whether you would agree with anything I'll say this morning, hereafter, or even before, that you can deny that that's the truth. How many remember the Bruce Jenner that I grew up? Olympian, was it triathlon? Billed back then as the world's greatest athlete, you know, to win that in the Olympics. Get your own box of Wheaties. The all-American story, does your mind take you back there? See, because we have young people today that have no idea, no clue, no thought of what we would be speaking about. And that's why I'm going back with that this morning. And I told the Lord, I don't want to get him to talk about that. But here it was a young man that was pursuing something that looked so good. I want to say, to be the world's greatest athlete. What could be wrong with that? Well, there's nothing wrong with being an athlete. Nothing wrong with staying fit. Nothing wrong with watching what you eat. Matter of fact, it's a good thing. How many could say we could all use a little more of that good thing? It's a good thing. But I want to tell you something that goes along with that. It was a number of years ago. I've got four boys. They were all going to the gym. When I was a teenager, I went to the gym. Have you ever known a boy, Harley, that didn't want his bicep a little bit bigger? And I went to the gym, and they come in, and boy, they're pumping, and they're comparing, they're pumping. And finally I asked them, they said, what's all this about? And they said, oh, we're just doing it for our health. How many believe that? Well, I didn't either. And, of course, I'm dad, and I'm me, so those two things together, I had to say, no, you're not. You're not doing it for your health, you're doing it for your image. Now, how many remember when you had an image? And I had my image of me, and I set out to meet that. And I told them, that you're doing it for your image. And that's something kids go through, that's something people go through, that's something young ladies go through with their thing, and people as they go through life, that's just a part of life, that's not a big deal. But I want to tell you, whether it's sports, whether it's things like that, whether it's lifestyles, I had a friend in high school. He had his image of himself as an international playboy. You ever known anyone like that? I don't think he'd ever been out of Aldine. But he was an international playboy. And he fit the shoes. I mean, high school and the kids wearing slacks. And we'd kill for a pair of blue jeans. And the way he carries on, listen, I didn't mind getting a date. How about you? Can I just speak open? And I got the best date ever. But it's a natural thing. But this thing, his thing became a fashion and impressing and an acquisition, if you want to say that. And I want to tell you, as a young man, not even knowing the Lord, I said, this guy's on a bad course. This guy is pursuing something that's not going to end well. How many could see that? I've had high school friends that have died in bar fights. I've had high school friends that have died of AIDS. I've had high school friends that are drunks and alcoholics. And so oftentimes it started out with a course that you would say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a kid being a kid. But they begin to seek something and it gets a hold of them and they begin to labor their life thinking this thing, and it can be totally opposite of what this other one's seeking. That it's going to give me what satisfies me. It's going to satisfy my soul, my hunger, my thirsting. And I want to tell you, if you looked from afar, you know, what was it, 30 plus years ago, you would have saw this young man, and at the height of achievement, grasping that which he pursued, and it lied to him. It lied to him. If our young people, and we've got young people, and we'll still have them that come up and get in the sports. My kids are in sports, they're playing games. But forgive me if I don't get excited that you're going to be in the majors. Forgive me. Because I've seen too much in my life about that which people set their mind to pursue. And it lies to them. This young man, through his accomplishments, listen to me. And I want you to understand, as I talk about this, I'm not here to beat up on that man. This is an American tragedy. I will not join those that want to beat up on any people, any person, any group, but I will speak the truth. And this is an American tragedy, but it's becoming the American story. That his success led him into a life of trophy women and a high lifestyle, high party, all the things that are sold to our children. I tell you, I don't know if the things that Bruce Jenner fights with, he was fighting with as a child, as a teen, as a young man, or as an old man. I accept the word of God that I was shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. I accept that that's the reason a Redeemer has come, to redeem me. So it does not shake me if someone says, well, it's from a child. I was born, or from an old age. I thought, and I'm not a political person, but I thought this Ben Carson made a good point. He said men go into prison straight and they come out homosexual. He said something's changed. He said that's not birth. But I do know this, that if there ever was a pursuit, an example of one that achieving and receiving the things that are set before people that will satisfy the thirst of a soul, the emptiness of a soul, it's been set before this man. You say, but now he's finally finding rest. You deceive yourself. We've got some young people in this place, but I want to talk to you that are close to my age, a little older. How many times have you seen someone lifted up to tell our young people, oh, drugs, bad. And 6 months from now, they're busted. How many times have you seen that? How many times have you seen a rock group, a band, play and then get up, oh, we're clean, we don't do that. We're not into that stuff, though, that we want to show. And then, a few years later, you know, it's in the treatment centers and washed out and strung out and sometimes dead. We're not children, most of us in this place anymore. You've walked and you've seen things. This man is not finding rest. I want to tell you, This man is being rushed headlong into his darkness by a nation that's so proud of itself. Scripture says they grope in darkness. There's a man groping for a wall, and there's no light in them. A number of months ago, I was shaken by something that I saw, but the Lord let me see. How many, whether you agree with the direction or not, agree that this nation, as in the past half dozen years, the whole social makeup has been turned upside down? It didn't begin, but how strikingly fast. The Lord took me to Romans 1 there, where Israel, because they rejected God, first He gave them up to uncleanness. And that was fornication. That was sexual activity outside of the marriage. And sins. And then pornography. And all these things. How many remember the day that a pornographer became our champion of free speech in this nation? Do you remember the day? Larry Flint, publisher of Hustler magazine. You know why he became a champion of free speech? I never was a Jerry Falwell fan. I'll say that right here in this pulpit. Never was. Because he published an article that Jerry Falwell had incest with his mother and every kind of ungodly thing, and where anyone else in the land could have said, that's liable, and our law says you can't do that. And the court said, no, that's free speech. And they made a movie of this man as our champion of free speech. And I looked in the scripture. He gave them up to uncleanness. And probably the time that most of this congregation were born or young age is where this began for this nation. You know, I once walked in uncleanness. I'm not standing here to judge anyone, but I did repent. And I did turn to the Lord. But our nation has embraced it. He gave them up to uncleanness. And then the next thing, he says, he gave them over to vile affections. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. I just became blasted by the sons and daughters of entertainers, of politicians, of governors, of laymen, that all of a sudden decided that they were homosexual. Have you seen the tidal wave? They say, well, that's just natural. We just took off the boundaries. Do you think what you're seeing is natural? God spoke of Israel. He said, I gave them up to vile affections. And when He does that, the unnatural takes hold. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. My grandchildren, listen to me. If they don't know the Lord, will not be exempt in a nation that's given over. See, I'm not here to point a finger at someone else, or if this was a good man, if this was a man of God. The Lord spoke that if they don't know the Lord, my grandchildren will not be exempt from a nation given over to vile affections. You say, well, mine will. Give them Jesus. And then finally, He gave them over to a reprobate mind. Nothing mattered. And we're very close, if not there, as a nation. But the whole reason I brought that up, was to speak of one first that is put in our face everywhere we turn, in your children's face. It's not for you, it's for your children. You need to understand that. It's for your grandchildren. Put in their face everywhere you turn. And so sometimes you have to stand up and speak. But to say this, he pursued, obtained the heights, found out it lied to him. At this time in his life, and like I say, this is not an attack, this is a tragedy. He's still pursuing the greatest lie he's heard so far. And I'm going to tell you something else. Those that claim to love and support today, if he changed his mind, would attack. Would attack the cowardice . You say, I'm nothing like that. There was a day, neither was he. But God asked the question, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why do you pursue that which can never satisfy your soul? He said, come to me. I'm the fountain of living waters. I will say this, understanding that I will give an answer before God. Trish, I found rest for my soul. I found the waters that quench my thirst. I found the bread that satisfies my soul. He said, come and buy it without money, without price. They took shipping, and that's just what struck me. To go get something that would last for a few moments. People spend their lives chasing and pursuing things. Listen to me. I used to think Brother Surface was just almost off his rocker. He'd say, I see things. And I'd say, well, I don't see it. We live in a nation that has sold its youth that the only thing that will satisfy you is a bigger thrill. Just the natural things. You can't be satisfied unless you're bigger, faster, and stronger. You can't be satisfied unless you're jumping higher. You can't be satisfied unless your entertainment is blowing your ears off. I mean, it's got to be bigger, fatter. Tell me that's not so. And they're still empty. So the only answer they have in a nation that scoffs at Jesus Christ, is then it's got to be higher, it's got to be faster, it's got to be better. To some, it's drugs. To other, it's the adventure if you're going to be you. And it lies to them. Thank you.
But I want to remind you of one that says, I am the truth. And if you come to me, you shall find rest for your soul. You'd cross the ocean for meat that perishes. You'd work day and night for something that when you get is not what it said it was. He said, why do you do that? Come to the waters. If you thirst, Jesus said, come to me and drink. Out of your bellies will flow rivers. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Are you one that thirsts? Are you one that's pursued something? And it's lied to you. I've seen all my life serving the Lord. People that on one hand want to come to the Lord, but there's something saying, but you got to get me first. And it's almost within reach. And they're going to get it. Even the devil knows how to put a carrot on a stick. Did you hear me? Even the devil knows how to put a carrot on a stick. And God says, why do you pursue such things?